Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today to discuss OptimizeRx's third quarter ended September 30th, 2017. With us today are the company's Chief Executive Officer, William Febbo, and Chief Financial Officer, Doug Baker, and its President, Miriam Paramore. Following their remarks, we will open the call to your questions. Then before we conclude today's call, I'll provide the necessary cautions regarding forward-looking statements made by management. I would also like to remind everyone that today's call will be recorded and will be made available for telephone replay, the instructions in today's press release, in the Investors section of the company's website. Now with that, I'd like to turn the call over to the Chief Executive Officer of OptimizeRx, Mr. William Febbo. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us on the call today. During the third quarter, we made a lot of progress financially and operationally. I'm glad to report as we continue to build upon the foundation we've been talking about over the last several quarters. I'm happy to report net revenue was up 74% to a record $3.1 million. The increase was driven by growth in our core solutions of financial messaging, or e-coupon product, as well as our new brand messaging launched in Q1 of this year. We also added channel partners, and we continued to invest in our team to scale the business and expand our digital health platform. This platform integrates leading electronic health record systems, or EHRs, as you'll hear me say many times. And within the e-prescription workflow, then physicians are physically with their patients. We call that point of care. Just to give you some additional perspective before we get into the numbers with Doug, I'd like to talk a little bit about why our platform is so valuable to our clients, the pharma manufacturers, patients, and why our opportunity in this market is so large and growing. The healthcare market has been undergoing many changes. It has become increasingly difficult for pharmaceutical representatives, the salespeople, to get in front of physicians they need to reach. Over 50% of hospitals now don't even let them in the door. Physicians are also spending more than 5 hours a day accessing patients' EHRs. Those are the electronic health records. In 2016 alone, more than 2 billion e-prescriptions were transmitted from doctors to pharmacies, which reflects that now about 85% of the nation's physicians are using e-prescriptions as their preferred way to prescribe. This adoption has accelerated over the last few years, which is why it's important to recognize that our technology, our solution and platform, now reaches a very large segment of this market. One key driver is actually something we've all been hearing about much lately. That's the opiate crisis. New York was the first state to mandate e-prescribing as a means to stem opiate abuse, and now we're seeing this set across the country in different states. Our solutions have tremendous potential, which is being realized more and more as we expand our client base and channel reach and integrate further within and outside the prescription workflow. Based on indications from clients and agencies and partners, we estimate the total available market to be well over $1 billion. In other words, we have a lot of room to grow. Now, before we delve into the operational details of the quarter and outlook for the year, I'd like to turn the call over to our CFO, Doug Baker, who will walk us through the financial details for the quarter. Doug?
Thanks, Will, and good afternoon, everyone. Earlier today, we issued a press release with the results for our third quarter ended September 30, 2017. A copy of the release is available in the Investor Relations section of our website. As Will mentioned, our net revenue in the third quarter of 2017 totaled $3.1 million, up 74% compared to $1.8 million in the same year-ago quarter. This increase was primarily attributable to growth of our two core products, financial and brand messaging, along with broader distribution through our new channel partners. The launch of new pharma brands, which now total over 100 between financial and brand messaging, also contributed to the increase. Our gross margin in the third quarter was 45.1%, which compares to 59.5% in the same year-ago quarter. The decrease was primarily due to the launch and expansion of our brand messaging products, which have had overall lower margins than our core financial messaging products. However, on a sequential quarterly basis, gross margin improved from 44% last quarter, which was in line with our expectations, and we communicated in our last call. This indicates we are advancing towards our goal of 50% gross margins or better. Moving down the income statement, our operating expenses in the third quarter were $2 million, which was up from $1.3 million in the same year-ago quarter. The increase was primarily due to additional expenses related to our growth initiatives, including the company's executive and sales team. Our operating expense as a percentage of revenue decreased to 65.4% versus 73.5% in the year-ago quarter. As we grow, we expect operating expense as a percentage of revenue to continue to decrease. Our net loss for the third quarter of 2017 totaled $623,000, or 2 cents a share, as compared to a net loss of $243,000, or 1 cent per share, in the third quarter of 2016. This results from the leveling of our growth spend, increased revenue, and a shift in our product mix. Our EBITDA for the third quarter of 2017 was a loss of $490,000, as compared to a loss of $190,000 in the third quarter of 2016 for the same reason. Turning to the balance sheet, cash and cash equivalents totaled $5 million at September 30, as compared to $5.8 million at June 30 and $7 million at December 31, 2016. In addition to the cash used by operations, our cash balance was lowered by the separation agreement with the company's previous CEO. During the 9 months ended September 30, 2017, we paid $390,000 to redeem stock and $105,000 in consulting fees. There are no remaining payments due under the separation agreement. We also used $867,000 of cash investing in our network and technology to further facilitate our revenue growth. We continue to operate debt-free and are currently not seeking any additional capital. That covers the highlights from our financial report. Now I'd like to turn the call back over to Will for further discussion of our operating and strategic initiatives. Will?
Thanks, Doug. Appreciate that. Once again, top line in Q3 was driven by growth in our financial and brand messaging solutions, as well as expansion in the network, reaching more physicians. As you saw in a press release, we added iSalus Healthcare into our EHR network, which just continues to build the largest of its kind network with access to more than 370 EHRs nationwide. Just to remind the audience, there are about 500 plus in the market. In addition to further growth on the core solutions, we also added new pharmaceutical manufacturers and their respective brands. We added three of the top 20 manufacturers in Q3 alone. We also recorded additional compelling return on investment data for our clients on current brands. To remind the listeners, the ROI data helps us encourage the adoption of this cloud-based EHR channel for our clients. And we're seeing an average return on investment of 5 to 1 on their money. Onboarding new clients and channel partners allowed to increase our number of brands by about 10% during the quarter and our channel or reach to physicians by about 20% year to date. This equates to over 100 brands and about a third of the physician community. Now let's talk about our team and our partners and our technology. Since the first quarter of 16, we've been building out the team and we needed to scale the business to support further client and brand growth. And I believe we now have that team to truly scale. To support this growth, we added business development, product, operations team members, as well as appointed Miriam Paramore, who you'll hear from later, an accomplished health IT industry veteran, as our new president. I have complete confidence in Miriam as she oversees our technology platform, product suite, channel expansion, and frankly, overall growth. Miriam brings considerable depth with many of our EHR partners, as well as others we are looking at to bring on. Given our expanding customer base of top pharmaceutical companies, as well as major channel partners like Allscripts and Practice Fusion, Miriam's experience with scaling health technology companies brings timely and complementary strengths to our Optimize Rx team. Meanwhile, our sales and marketing team continues to leverage the ROI data on increased script lift, which demonstrated in a control group how we were able to lift first fill rates or sales of prescription drugs. We expect these results to continue to help us increase adoption within the pharma manufacturers and our clients. These investments in our executive and sales teams have begun to produce returns, as you're seeing, and accelerating growth from the past. We're seeing a broader client base, and now we're really seeing some good scale potential. In fact, as Doug mentioned in his remarks, I'm pleased to see our operating expenses as a percentage of revenue decreased markedly during the quarter. We see this decrease really to demonstrate the leverage of our operating model, in that it supports greater market reach and revenue growth without the need to incrementally increase operating costs going forward. So as we grow, we expect operating expense as a percentage of revenue to continue to decrease. Our success in acquiring, integrated, and expanding into new promotional EHR and e-prescription platforms has continued to strengthen. As a result, we have more master service agreements now than ever before, and the pipeline is robust, and the integration team, let's just say they're busy. Subsequent to the quarter, we added Aprima medical software, and we are actively engaged in discussions with several additional EHRs who want to join our platform. We are also working extensively with our existing EHR and e-prescription partners to expand the reach of our financial messaging in addition to healthcare providers, as well as looking to build new solutions that leverage our core clients. EHR adoption is now ubiquitous. E-prescription adoption is above 80%, and point-of-care access is proving highly valuable to pharma. In fact, 90% of U.S. physicians are now using EHRs on a daily basis, and as I mentioned, our ROI for pharma-sponsored events are incredibly high, with an average of 5-to-1. All of this is conducive to growth of our unique marketing channel between pharma companies and physicians. We also believe we only have just begun to scratch the surface, and our market potential, as I mentioned earlier, is terrific. I would also like to note that during the quarter, we were invited to multiple events, leading healthcare technology conferences. Miriam spoke at Distributed Health Conference, which is a leading event focused on blockchain and healthcare, and we'll talk about others later. Turning to the agencies we've talked about, we all know about our partner, WPP, but we continue to work closely with all the major healthcare-centric companies and the digital media spend companies within the EHR, continues to be the fastest growing digital spend sector, according to the experts. This is a critical piece to the adoption rate of EHR channel as they act as advisors to our clients. And I'm glad to say we work with most of the top 20. On our last conference call, we said that we were off to a record gathering RFPs or requests for proposals. The RFP season started in September, and the RFP gathered all support continued growth in 2018. Let me be clear on that. It's been a really good season of RFP growth. We expect to see multiple 1 million plus clients developing through 2018 without over concentration in any one client. Moving on to brand messaging. Our brand messaging product launched at the beginning of the year. We've talked a lot about it. It's used at our network partners as a complement to our financial messaging product and allows us the opportunity to acquire additional budget per brand. We continue to add brands and expect continued improvement in the fourth quarter. We don't break out revenue by messaging solution because of our size and, frankly, the competitive nature of our business, but I can say it's starting to show true results. Our product brand messaging include brand awareness, reminder ads, clinical messaging, and unbranded messaging that can be targeted by specialty diagnostic code or other criteria. This is truly the most precise way of marketing to the medical community today, which means great value for our clients, and I see continued growth with this solution. As we have shared, the logic was to have more than one solution and increase our revenue per brand, which we are seeing, and we will talk after the close of 2017. Now I'm going to pass it over to Miriam. Stop talking for a little while. Miriam?
Thank you, Will. Hi, everyone. I'd like to share a few observations with you based on my first 90 days. I'll focus my comments around the development of our capabilities to serve the market broadly and to scale the business rapidly. First, let me talk about market need. I've been delighted to learn about the opportunity to name and claim the space between pharma and the point of care. I might even call it the previously wasted space, where high-value, real-time digital communication can occur, but doesn't today, at least at scale. OptimizeRx was first to market with financial messaging, enabling this cost-saving, patient-friendly solution as the first type of digital dialogue between pharma and healthcare providers. We're just scratching the surface here, as Will mentioned earlier, but there is so much more. OptimizeRx connects pharma and healthcare providers, or HCPs, digitally for any type of real-time communication. We added brand messaging this year, and our next step is clinical messaging. Clinical messaging is highly valuable to both constituents, delivering context-relevant content about medications at the time the patient is in the provider's office. The opportunities for communication content are limitless. Having created the platform, we are now focused on layering on additional services that are requested by our clients and partners. To that end, we are investing in our technology infrastructure to make sure it can handle high-volume, real-time messaging in a secure and HIPAA-compliant way. We're investing in our product development and software engineering teams and using contemporary computing methodologies. We're also listening closely to the market. We convened our first medical advisory board meeting in Chicago this quarter. Our physician advisors help us better understand their experience using EHRs every day. They are looking for help, particularly with drug price transparency and with prior authorizations, both solutions that we look to bring to market on the OptimizeRx platform. Their input helps us to keep current and helps us to play our role as a thought leader as we seek to help the industry better understand and solve these complex issues. In line with this effort during the quarter, we helped launch a new think tank of female executives, who are focused on digital information-driven healthcare. That think tank, underwritten by a company called Edifex, held its inaugural meeting at an eco resort in Southern California. Was not painful to be there, I can say. We discussed interoperability, healthcare reform, and turning technical innovation into good policy, with the day culminating in a passionate conversation about how we can help mentor each other and move the needle for women in our industry. It's events like this and the Distributed Health Conference that Will mentioned earlier that promote healthcare innovation. We plan to attend a number of other events this year. In fact, I have the pleasure of speaking next week at the EMIDS Healthcare Summit, a gathering of C-suite executives from across the industry. And Will is coordinating an innovation conference at Bayer's global headquarters. Finally, I'll quickly share that we have also invested in operations personnel and process improvements, helping to drive higher margins and handle scale. Thank you, Will.
Thanks, Miriam. Glad you're here. Let's see. Talking more about the channel, we're actively engaged in discussions with several EHRs to integrate our technology into their platform. Our teams are also working extensively with the existing platforms to expand the reach of our financial messaging as well as the brand messaging. We've seen considerable investment dollars entering the EHR and ERX space over the last 18 months, which we believe will allow for better technology scale and utilization among our partners. We expect to see further improvement in future quarters as we implement new channels in our core financial messaging product and have lower revenue share percentages that we're able to as we get more scale. In step with this, we expect the margins of our brand messaging product to increase as we diversify across additional channels and increase the revenue. We expect this to help advance us towards our goal of achieving gross margins of 50% or greater. For the remainder of the year, we plan to remain extremely focused on engaging more brands, developing more solutions, and increasing our reach to physicians and patients. Given what we see as greater visibility into our expanding client base, we believe we are on track for another record quarter ahead. Now, with that, let's open up for calls and questions, and then I'll circle back and finish with some closing comments. Operator?
Thank you. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question at this time, you may do so by pressing the star key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure the mute function is turned off to allow the signal to reach our equipment. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone the opportunity to signal. We will take our first question from Eric Martinuzzi with Lake Street Capital Makers. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on the strong quarter, and thanks for taking my questions. Got a couple of questions. I want to focus first on the EHR and then go into maybe forward-looking thoughts. On the EHR side, I know every sale, the sign-up of each EHR is a little bit different, but what can you tell us about the sales cycle with iSalus as far as, you know, the length of time, I guess, you know, from initial contact to actually getting them on board the platform?
Hey, Eric. Thanks, and really enjoyed the report. Glad to have you on board. The EHRs, yes, it's a good question. The sales cycle can be as short as a month to get an MSA signed, as long as 4 months to get an MSA signed. And then it's really going to come down to our partner's technology list of products, right? There's a lot to do every day with these companies, and we basically become a priority. The good news is we're a revenue-generating partner for our EHR partners, so we tend to get some priority. And I think, you know, in the most recent cases, we're seeing a much faster integration. But all in, it's a quarter to a quarter and a half. Keep in mind these have to be tested on both, you know, their platform and ours. And then, obviously, we're pre-selling to clients to let them know that this channel is going to open. So when it's ready to go, we hit it pretty hard. But it's about a quarter to a quarter and a half.
Okay. And you talked a little bit about how that, I don't know if pipeline's the right word, but it sounds like you're talking to more. Do you feel like the brand, the Optimize Rx brand, is getting out into the market? And I know it's probably still got to be sold, but there's at least you're a known quantity when you're knocking on those doors?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've I think, done a really good job over the last year building a lot of credibility in the space and being very transparent and technology-friendly, but also, frankly, you know, doing what we say and bringing revenue from the industry to our channel partners. So, yeah, I'd say our reputational brand value is much higher.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then taking a look at the model, I know you didn't give specific outlook for Q4 other than you do expect to grow. What's normal seasonality for your business? I realize that's kind of a loaded question given how much new account work you have with onboarding of EHRs and expansion from financial messaging to branded messaging, but maybe a more specific way to ask it is what's Q4 look like in comparison to this $3.1 million you just posted?
Yeah, no, so just speaking very high level, Q4 is almost always our largest quarter for the year, and that tracks to how money is managed within our client base. So we expect Q4 to not be out of whack from the seasonal approach. Obviously, we don't talk to percentages or growth or any of that, but as we said, I think we're, you know, really on track for a strong quarter.
Okay. And then I've heard you say in prior calls that you expect a break even at about a $13 million-plus run rate. Is that still the case?
You know, I would say it's, you know, 13 to 14.5. We're going to – Miriam mentioned a couple products. What we really think is key for this platform right now is getting additional solutions on top of it. And, you know, those things don't just turn on. You've got to spend a little to get them. So we're pretty focused on making sure our investment dollars are incredibly focused on this connectivity between industry and physicians and distributed through the EHRs. But I would increase our break even to probably 14.5 from 13.
Okay. Thanks for taking the questions. Congrats again on the quarter. I don't have a lot of companies in my coverage universe that grew 74% this quarter.
We're glad to be in that club. Thanks, Eric.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will go next to John Ziegelman with Wolverine Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for taking my call, and what a great quarter. I'm very happy about it. As you guys know, and some of the market may know, we had filed a 13D and had suggested that if you could scale as you anticipated you would, which I believe you've now done, that a process to analyze what your strategic alternatives are would be a good idea. And to be clear, what Wolverine thinks strategic alternatives isn't just one outcome. It's not just sale. In fact, more often it's strategic in nature with a strategic partner, a merger of some sort, and many times a go-alone because we're now at scale strategy. All that said, my simple question is, can you guys update us on the process and what you're thinking now that you've entered the zone of scale? And whatever you could share with the market would be appreciated.
Thanks, John. To hear your voice. So we're 100% focused on execution of growth and really trying to, without any distractions, I think that's important for the investors to hear. However, to your point, part of our responsibility is all the stakeholders and shareholders to constantly assess, you know, all the avenues that go it alone, acquisition strategies, M&A. We've spoken about the activity in our space in the past with recent M&A and very large investments, and particularly in the point of care space. And as a management team and board, we're constantly reviewing our options while executing our growth plan, which, as you know, is key to the longer-term story. So I'm pretty confident we've got the board and the management team to maintain that balance between sort of absolute focus on ops and strategic considerations. And I, you know, on a monthly basis, have several conversations in and around strategy that is not focused in any one area, but really how to enhance the shareholder value. Next question. Anyone
there?
We'll
take our next question from Ron Chez, a private investor. Please go ahead.
Will, good afternoon. Doug, good afternoon.
Hey, Ron.
I have three questions, although you did touch on one with Eric. You might just discuss your thoughts about the relationship you touched on break-even between continued investment spending and building the infrastructure and profitability, unless you feel like you've covered that adequately with Eric.
No, I think I can add a little bit to it, Ron. You know, the reason why I'm so excited about this business right now is I feel like we've got this foundation which has a really nice connection between industry and physicians. And so we've got financial messaging growing nicely, our core product. We've got brand messaging, which we started in Q1, and we'll continue to grow that in an accelerated way. And so now it's really up to us to put on other solutions. And the cost of putting those on is much less than the first two, right? Because we have the momentum. So I see putting more solutions, more access. And with the sales team we have, I have a lot of confidence we'll see a lot more growth on the pharma side. So I would say we upped it a little bit because we're getting, frankly, getting our hands around the business even more. So it's just more of a true number. And I think we've got our major executive team in place. And so now it's about executing more content through the network.
You touched on additional solutions. Does that mean, in terms of leveraging what you're doing right now, additional sources of revenue besides the two that you've discussed?
Absolutely. We would expect to have at least one more additional revenue solution that we can talk about in Q1. And obviously, we talked about prior authorization last year, and we'll talk about others as the year unfolds in 18. But yes, that is the idea, Ron.
You are looking towards any place where you can establish recurring revenue, a favorite of mine, recurring revenue.
Yes, it is a wonderful phrase. We actually do think there's an opportunity here. We're working pretty hard. We think it's going to be a data-driven solution. And again, connected directly to our core product. So we're not going off campus at all. We're really looking at how we can deliver more value to our clients in a way that they may be willing to subscribe to. And so, yes, that is on the horizon, but nothing definitive yet.
So to that point, which connects to what I just asked, what kinds of programs do you have for, given this very large market, very large opportunity, and where you are with, not a big company right now, what do you see as the best opportunities for further penetration, more doctors, more budgets, better relationships with agencies? What do you see as the way to enhance penetration?
You know, I think that the investments we've made are in three areas. It's definitely more pharmaceutical clients and brands. So we have a team focused exclusively on that, and that ties in the agencies as well. There's the technology we have, so really streamlining that, adding some data, which ultimately could yield some recurring revenue. And then channel, which is a very big reason Miriam is on the team with her background and experience and the business development we team have there. So, you know, we've got the pressures on us. We need to do all three. If we do all three, then we've got a really, really wonderful story here. If we do two out of three, we still have a great story. So we're focused on all of them, Ron.
You're focused on patient benefits. You touched on that. Patient benefits are terribly important here.
They are. You know, it's a good point. We did talk about it a little bit in the initial call. The thing that really gets a lot of our team excited is we're providing financial assistance to patients through the physician. And, adherence is a big problem in the industry. If you don't take certain meds, you have chronic issues and you're in the hospital, it's really a spiraling bad situation. So we feel like we're helping the patients tremendously, and we are looking always at ways to enhance that. So, yeah, thanks for asking.
Just a last comment. You are paying attention to the opportunity when it is correct to uplist.
We are. We, when you start to do pretty well, the industry that likes to bring companies uplist, they come a calling. So we've got a really good group to talk to, and we will assess that when it's appropriate. Yes.
Good progress, Will.
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate the support.
We will go back to John Ziegelman with Wolverine Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Sorry about that. I got caught on mute. The follow-up to my question is, I want to try and put a bit of a frame around how you process the information that you just described you were going to look at. And, of course, this is just Wolverine's estimates and nobody else's, and you're not saying they're right or wrong. But given your current quarter, and given what we expect for the next quarter, we see you at almost $12 million of trailing revenue at the end of Q4. We had in our letter, public letter, said 10 to 12, so you're really killing it in terms of operations. And we've now upped, given the quarter's results, we've upped next year's estimates. Not anywhere close to the 74%. So I think we're being conservative. And a long story short, taking the sales transactions that you've cited in the past, that we've cited, the recent analyst report, and our own updating of market multiples, we think today, right now, that you're worth between $2.50 and $3 a share. So very long-winded way to say, or from our perspective, we think whatever this strategic alts process decides, that's the marker you have to meet or beat. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
I do, and obviously I can't endorse any of the numbers, but in terms of looking at market comps and multiples, and certainly now the first 9 months of 17, I think as investors, it's healthy to look at that range. The market speaks for itself, and certainly. As you said, it really allows us to look at multiple strategic opportunities because I've got the team in place to build a very large business if it comes to that. So we are looking at everything, and I'm very encouraged, John. We met about a year and a half ago. I think we've come a long way, and we'll keep performing.
Oh, you definitely have come a long way. You've under-delivered and under-promised. and the promises, I should say, you've over-delivered and promised well, not under-promised. You've assembled your team. You've got the plumbing. You've got the first mover advantage. You're proving out now that you are either already at scale or nearly at scale. So I think, you know, given some of the transactions that have taken place, you are in the driver's seat, and that doesn't mean you're selling. It means you can negotiate a better deal with a strategic or something like that. And to Ron's point, an uplisting will help with liquidity, which will help with people being interested in the stock. So thank you. Keep it up, and we'll be around.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the support.
We will go back to Ron Chez, a private investor. Please go ahead.
I just want to ask John if he's a buyer or a seller right now. Just kidding, John. just kidding, John. We'll talk later. One other question, not about uplist. I'm sorry, I'm looking at my notes right now on penetration. And when it comes to penetration, isn't the HCP part of this the biggest opportunity? Or is it budgets the biggest opportunity?
Yeah, well, you can't get the budgets without the HCPs. So they are really connected. And we've got enough now to grow nicely, as everyone's seeing. But as we get more access, it's just easier to get more budget once you're a bigger company with pharma. So we anticipate being able to go after bigger dollars. As I think I cited, we expect multiple million-plus clients versus one or two that we've seen this year. So we're excited about that.
One more comment. I encourage the focus on building the business. You've got the infrastructure there. You build the business and satisfy patients and doctors, and the rest of the stuff takes care of itself in terms of strategic alternatives, a better stock price, the opportunity for acquisitions, or whatever. You just got to build the business.
I agree.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ron.
We'll take our next question from David Harrell with Optimize RX. Please go ahead.
Will, congratulations. It's exciting to hear, and hitting that milestone of 100 brands is a fantastic accomplishment. So congratulations to you and the team.
Thanks,
one thing I wanted to share is that the good news is there's 700 other brands that we haven't, at this point at least, secured. And considering you have that mass scale and proven ROI across really every type of pharmaceutical product, whether it's diabetes, cardiovascular, asthma. Now that you've reached that scale, industry scale and recognition, and you have the ROI to back you up, do you see bigger chunks of products, not looking at this as an innovative marketing tactic, but a must-have market tactic? And again, you know, the opportunity on the product side is sevenfold to where we are, and I think that the EHR is at least five to sevenfold as well. So how, can you comment on your key critical success factors now that you have that scale to go after the rest of the market?
Sure, Dave. So I think, there are 800 in the market. There are probably about 400 that are relevant to us. But we've gotten away a little bit from brand count because you could have one brand doing 4 million and one brand doing 30,000. So what we're really looking at are key accounts that have a long tail of exclusivity with patent protection. We're looking at the higher volume. We also have a specialty drug approach, which is sort of lower volume, higher price, certainly more need for copay. What I can say is I really think we've got the sales team in place and the client relationships to get a lot more traction in the market. So more brand dollars, more share of the brand dollars. And I think now that we have multiple products or solutions between brand and financial and clinical messaging, we're just becoming more relevant to the client. And so, as you know, Dave, you've been at it. They take you more seriously the more they spend with you. So I think we've got the team to support the growth, and we can certainly start to see better scale, yes.
That sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
We will go back to John Ziegelman with Wolverine Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, I was kind of jokingly I was going to answer Ron, but my compliance guy just jumped on me, so I'll just stay quiet and say I think it's worth over 250. So you guess what I'm doing.
I love it. Good answer on the call. This is good. It's getting fun now. All right, thanks, John.
At this time, this concludes our question and answer session. I would now like to turn the call back over to Mr. Febbo. Sir, please proceed.
Thanks. I just want to finish up with a quick comment on why someone should believe what John believes and many others on the phone. Firstly, we've got tectonic shifts in technology-enabled communication tools between industry and medical professionals. Investment in the space is happening at all levels. You've got from startups, the largest companies in the country are investing in our space. Our solution is embedded into the workflow of the physician with transparency, compliance, accuracy, and a strong ROI, which are all requirements today. Our core solution benefits patients with financial assistance and improves adherence and thus outcomes. So we're relevant. And really, the most personal part of this is we have a team to execute on this vision. Our team is the best team in the industry, and we work really hard for everybody, all the stakeholders. I'm very proud of that. So with that, we look forward to talking to you in the future, and you know you can always reach out and give me a call anytime. Thanks, everyone. Operator?
Thank you. Before we conclude today's call, I would like to provide the company's safe harbor statement that includes important cautions regarding forward-looking statements made during today's call. Statements made by management during today's call may contain forward-looking statements within the definition of Section 27A in the Securities Act of 1933 as amended and Section 21E of the Securities Act of 1934 as amended. These forward-looking statements should not be used to make an investment decision. The words anticipate, estimate, expect, possible, and seeking, and similar expressions identify forward-looking statements, and they speak only to date the statements was made. Examples of such forward-looking statements in this presentation include statements regarding the company's expectation that its distribution of financial messages will continue to increase and brand messaging will continue to support top-line growth. The company's expectation of the margin on its brand messaging product to increase, the company's expectation of leveraging ROI data will continue to help IT build more adoption within the manufacturer's budgeting, the company's expectation to see further improvements in cost of sales percentage in future quarters, the company's expectation operating expense as a percentage of revenue to continue to decrease, the company's estimation of the total available market, the company's expectations to see additional states mandate e-prescribing, and the company's expectation it's on track for another record quarter ahead. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether because of new information, future events, or otherwise. Forward-looking statements are inherently subject to risks and uncertainties, some of which cannot be predicted or quantified. Future events and actual results could differ materially from those set forth and contemplated by or underlying forward-looking statements. Risks and uncertainties to which forward-looking statements are subject and could affect our business and financial results are included in the company's annual report on Form 10-K for the fiscal year ended December 31, 2016. This form is available on the company's website and on the SEC website at sec.gov. Before we end today's conference, I would like to remind everyone that this call will be available for replay starting later this evening through November 23rd. Please refer to today's press release for dial-in replay instructions available via the company's website at www.optimizerx.com. Thank you for joining us today. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.